So, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18 this evening. So, verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So, in our last Bible study, we were thinking about the subject of the mark of the beast. And I made some suggestions there to you how such a system could be brought in. There were suggestions, by the way. I'm not trying to play the role of a prophet or anything. There were suggestions of how the sort of system might be brought in whereby, as it says here, no one can buy or sell or access various other things without having this mark of the beast. And I said last time, ours is the first generation, certainly since the time of Nimrod in Genesis 10 and 11, when actually such control over the world's population could be made to work. I say in the time of Nimrod, because at that time, when they were building the Tower of Babel, everyone was together. So it was possible at that time for Nimrod, who is a kind of type of the Antichrist, to control everyone, because everyone was together in one place. Of course, that is no longer so. People are all over the world, and people speak different languages, and different countries have different currencies, and there are different religions and different ideologies. Nevertheless, for the sorts of reasons we were thinking about last week, it is possible, coming possible, through technology, to be able to control people on a global scale like it never was before. As I said last week, our forefathers wondered how that could possibly happen. I don't have a problem seeing it anymore. And if you think about some of the things last week, I'm sure you would agree. Now, as a matter of fact, after I brought that Bible study last week, Jen gave me this article. Did it come off Roger Oatland's website, or Berean Call, or something like that? Chip and skin, payments, matrix, moments. Microchip implants could be considered the ultimate form of mobile payment, skipping the smartphone altogether in favour of giving people bionic abilities, and a small segment of the population is already lining up to try it out. Proponents of the chips argue that implants could drive the future of payments and other smart functions, and that they create conveniences for those who are willing to embrace the technology. But critics question the ethical ramifications of offering chips in the workplace, and they raise questions. So it goes on. Basically, what it's saying is really just what I was saying last week, that technology is actually available, and there's an X-ray there of someone with a chip in the hand. So there you go. So not fanciful at all, but current. So this evening, I want us to think about this. Well, it's an interesting subject, but I actually think a very difficult subject, of the number of the beast, 666. What is it? What does it mean? And how might one calculate the number of the beast? Here is wisdom, it says in verse 18, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666. How might one calculate the number of the beast? And if you are the sort of person who's taken an interest at any level in that, and you happen to have gone on the internet and googled 666, what is it, or something like that, I can tell you now, loads of stuff will come up, and a lot of it is absolute nonsense. So I'm going to read you a bit of an article as an example of the sort. I'm not reading this because I think the bloke is right. I'm reading this as a sample of the sort of thing you get. Barack Obama is the Antichrist. That's not what I'm saying. That's effectively what this is saying. Let me read you this and see if you can follow his line of reasoning. From Obama's first inauguration day, January 20, 2009, to when Pope Francis was elected on the March 13, 2013, is 216, that is 6 times 6 times 6 days. 666 plus 666 plus 666 plus 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 2016, pointing to the year 2016 as something eventful could happen. 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216. 12, 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 216. 2016 dropped the zero and we have 216. 6 times 6 times 6. In numerology, 216 is a significant occultist number. Barack Obama was born August 4th, 1961, the 216th, 6 times 6 times 6, date of the year. Barack Obama did hit the 666 jackpot on September 27, 2015, along with Google's birthday. 27 is the reduced value of 666 plus 666 plus 666. Are you following all this, by the way?
No.
Neither am I, but I'm reading it. Hang on a minute. On September 27, 2015, Barack Obama is 54 years old and 54 days old, ninth month, 9 in days. 6 plus 6 plus 6 plus... Oh. And so it goes on. You know, and it's like that the whole way through. Barack, in common gematria is the... having a numerical equivalent to a letter in an alphabet, and especially when people read meanings into that. Barak, in common gematria, A equals 6, B equals 12, C equals 18, etc., equals 216, 6 times 6 times 6. Barak, in ordinal gematria, A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, etc., equals 300, equals 36, triangular root of 666. The name, get this one, the name Barak first appears in the Bible at Judges 4:6, which is the 6,606 verse of the Bible. Drop the zero. I mean, is that lunacy or what? Did they not realise there were no verse numbers in the Bible, right, when it was written? Not until like hundreds and hundreds of years later do you even have chapter and verse divisions in the Bible. Note that the verse states Barak, the son of Abinoam. The Latin letters of Abinoam also allow to form in Obama. So in fact, this verse alone contains Barak, who say in Obama. The reason I'm reading that is because, can you see the sort of things people do when they get an idea in the head that such and such a body is the Antichrist? They work at it and work at it and work at it to make somehow something add up to 666. And the internet's full of that, okay? Which is one of the reasons why I want to do this Bible study this evening. But I fear that though I'm going to try and make this simple, some people might think it's a tad boring or maybe a bit whatever. But I hope you follow what I'm going to say, because the reason I'm doing this is just because of that sort of thing. You know, some people read that and say, oh yeah, Barack Obama's the Antichrist. And they immediately forget what it says. For example, in Daniel chapter 9, if you read verses 26 and 27, it tells you where the Antichrist comes from. He is of the people who destroy the temple and city in Jerusalem, who did that in AD 70, the Romans. Now that doesn't mean to say that the Antichrist is an Italian, by the way, from Italy. I'm not. And actually, I'm not just saying that because there's some Italians in here tonight. But the fact is that there are Italians all over the world. From America to wherever else, there are people of Italian descent. So just because it says that the Antichrist is of the people who actually destroyed the city doesn't mean he comes from, you know, Venice or wherever, you know, somewhere in Italy, does it? Do you see? But Barack Obama, I mean, he don't look like your typical Italian, does he? He looks more African to me, I don't know. So I mean, who knows? He could turn out to be the Antichrist. But that person there is clutching a lot of straws. And the internet's full of that. So that's why we're going to have a go at this tonight. So, what is the number of the beast? Well, if we look at verse 18, it says, "Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast." Okay, so there's a couple of things here that we gather from this before we start. Here, a person needs wisdom. All right? Not just knowledge, not just understanding, but wisdom. And wisdom is different than knowledge, isn't it? Yeah? What is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. Yeah. It's the ability to apply knowledge and understanding in some situation. I might know what's happening, but wisdom is that ability to know what I should do while that thing is happening, do you see? So wisdom is applied knowledge. So those who have wisdom regarding this number will not only know what the number is and what it means, they are, or they will be, able to apply their knowledge and understanding when the time comes, so as to calculate the number of the beast's name and to know him by his number. When the time comes, I say. When the time comes. That is to say, when he appears on the scene in his official capacity. He may be alive in the world today, the Antichrist. But he has not yet arisen to the position that he will be in during the tribulation. So my contention is, it is not possible to know him by calculating anything before he arrives on the scene. That's my contention. And there's obviously, when it says here is wisdom, if you've read James chapter 1 and verse 5, there's a lovely promise there. It says, if any of you, and it means the saints of God, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and it will be given to him, is what it says. And I think that's a lovely promise. That's actually good news. Because what it means is wisdom will be given to people. And the ability to understand this, the ability actually for a Christian to have wisdom in whatever situation, has got nothing to do with how brainy you are or how many degrees you've got or whatever. It's nothing to do with that. It's a God-given thing. And so you may be the simplest soul in the world. And if you need wisdom, ask God. And the promise of the Bible is that he'll give you wisdom. Better wisdom than the boffins in the world, actually. That's a promise of God. And so those who gain this wisdom from God will be able not only to know and understand what this number is and what it means, but they'll be able to apply their knowledge so as to calculate the number and to identify who the beast is. Or if they suspect they know that this person rising up on the world stage is the Antichrist, at the time they will be able to verify whether or not their suspicions are true by calculating his name. But here's a question for us. Is it possible to work out the name of the beast, the Antichrist, from this number now? Is it possible now, before he arrives on the scene? Is that possible? Well, many people obviously have thought so, and many people do still think so. And as I've said earlier, you know, you've only got to go on the internet to see that. And so what this has turned into, this 666 business, I think, is a kind of conundrum, a puzzle that certain kinds of people have given themselves to try and solve. A puzzle they try to solve. And down the centuries, and especially over the last 150, 200 years or so, umpteen suggestions have been made of people and things and names that people reckon are the beast or the Antichrist because they say they have calculated and subsequently identified who the beast is by calculating this number and working it to be. And as I say, there are lots of examples of people, historical people and present day people who certain individuals think was the Antichrist or is the Antichrist because they've calculated that. And a number of suggestions have been Caesar Nero, Domitian, various popes, Luther, Calvin, the Jesuits, Napoleon, Balaam, the Roman Empire, Joseph Smith, and we've just read about Barack Obama, you know, and lots of other people who they reckon they've worked out by calculating the number that this is the Antichrist. So, I think what we need to do to begin with is to understand how this works, this calculating a name. How does it work? What is meant by calculating the number of his name? Now, I'm going to try and explain this as simply as I can, but I'm not an academic person, I'm not an intellectual, and I'm trying to simplify what is actually far more complicated than I'm going to make it out to be. But I'm simplifying it because I'm already scared somebody's going to fall asleep. But if we go the complex route, we're going to be here for weeks with this and we're none of us going to get anything out of it. First of all, consider our own alphabet, English alphabet and numbering system. What have we got? Well, we've got 26 letters in our alphabet and each one of those letters represents a sound, doesn't it? A, B, C, or A, B, C, D, F, and so on and so forth. Some of those letters, actually written down, sound the same, which is why in school, to little children, you've got to call it curly cur and kicking cur, because it sounds the same, but it's actually a different letter. So we've got 26 letters that represent sounds. And then we use a method of counting based on a decimal system of just 10 numbers. Well, 1 to 9 plus 0. And by using those 10 figures, right, we can pictorially represent any number imaginable. It's a very efficient system, isn't it? It's the decimal system of numbering. With those 10 figures, we can represent any number. However, if you go back to like the ancient languages of like Hebrew and Greek and Latin, they didn't use that system. In their system, letters of the alphabet were given a numerical value so that letters also stood for numbers. And in fact, the simplest form of this that I can think of is still in use today. And it's... where's the slides? Okay, so it's what we call Roman numerals. Roman numerals. So we're all familiar with those because they're on your clock usually, and I'm okay with Roman numerals up to about number 30 and 39 maybe, and after that it starts to go a bit pear-shaped. But actually, Roman numerals, it's a very efficient system, and all there are 7 letters: I, B, X, L, C, D, and M. And that's what they represent. I is 1, B is 5, X is 10, L is 50, C is 100, D is 500, M is 1,000. And by the positioning of those next to each other, before or after, you represent the number they represent. If you have an old King James Bible, if I'm being honest with you, I struggle with the Psalms, with an old King James Bible. Because if somebody says, turn to Psalm 93... I'm like, what's that then? You know, because it's written out in LVX, whatever it is, you know. And I struggle after 39, but you know what I mean. So that's a simple form. So you've got letters there which would be used in their alphabet in the words, but they also represent numbers, yeah. So we're all familiar with that. We're all okay so far. Okay, that's a simple version of it. Now, the New Testament, of course, was written in Koine Greek. That is the marketplace Greek. like the Greek language that everyday people would use. Most of the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. And the Greek alphabet only had 24 letters in it, and they don't all correspond with our own. So here is the Greek alphabet I've wrote out for you. So it's going down and then into the second column. So, and I've wrote the capital and the lowercase letter. And so the point is, you see, each letter has a numerical value. Are you with me? If you look very carefully at that, you'll notice there are some numbers that are missing. Like, for example, well, 6 isn't missing, actually, because 6 is there, and it also moves up to 1p. And then you've got 800 and 900 are missing. And those that are missing, they actually brought in some characters from an ancient Greek language and used them to sort of fill the gaps, as it were. But basically, that is the Greek alphabet. Okay, now the point is this. Each letter has a numerical value. So each letter not only represents a sound, so alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, eta, zeta, theta, and so on. Each letter represents a sound, but it also represents a number. Alpha, A is 1, beta, B is 2, and so on and so forth, going down as I've numbered them there. So what that meant was that words could be expressed as numbers. And numbers could be expressed as words. Get it?
Yeah.
So, because every letter also had a new number value, a word or a name could be calculated. Do you see? By adding up the letters in the name, you would come to a number, wouldn't you? So, every name, obviously, would have a numerical value. Now, as I say, it's more complicated than this. I'm just trying to make this as simple as I possibly can. So I'll illustrate by giving you my own name, right? Translated into Greek characters. So my name is Ian Moulton, and so what I've done is I've transliterated the English into the Greek letters, and I put underneath the corresponding value of each letter. Do you see?
Yep.
So I equals 10, R equals 1, and so on and so forth. So when you reckon them all up, the numerical value of my name is 1021. You'll be glad to hear I'm not the Antichrist. Because my name don't come to 666. So that's how it works. So, have you got it?
Yeah.
Hey. And I thought you'd all be asleep by now. So we're sticking with it. Good. Okay, so the point is, it will be possible to calculate the number of the name of the Antichrist, the beast, and the numerical value of his name using this message, this method, and it will add up to 666. Well, in Hebrew, you have a similar system where letters represent numbers, and Latin does the same, and various other languages. This is what I'm coming to, the problem of language, you see. So, question is, does this mean that we can work out his name beforehand? The answer, it seems to me, is no. Because actually, if you work at it, lots of names could actually end up adding to 666, do you see? If they just happen to have the right letters in them, lots of names could add up to 666. But I have to say as well that even though I've tried to explain this as simply as I can on how to calculate the numerical value of somebody's name, in actual fact, for us, it isn't even that simple. It isn't simple to try and calculate the number, to work out the name of the Antichrist to come by using that method. And you wouldn't know that by looking at some websites, because they'll all tell you they've worked it out. So let me explain to you why this is even harder than it may seem initially. See, for a start off, language is a problem. Language is a problem. In English, we don't use a letter number system as they did in Greek and Hebrew, as I've just explained. Although, there are so-called numerologists who do. And most of that is really occult numerology. It's occult. In fact, I went on, I look at one website, and it was something like your lucky number name website. Like, so that, in other words, you give them the name and they'll tell you what its value is and tell you, how lucky you are. But, it's nonsense. It's superstition. And a lot of that is really occult stuff. Okay, but let's just say, for argument's sake, the Antichrist were from an English-speaking country, say from the UK or the USA or something like that. He's of Italian descent, but he's an Englishman, or he's an American, or whatever it is. Here's the question, see. How are you going to calculate the number of his name? Are you going to use the English system, maybe even the system that occult numerologists use? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to calculate his number using English language? Or do you translate his name, whatever it is, into, say, Hebrew or New Testament Greek, and then calculate his number from that? Do you understand what I'm getting at? So, again, let me illustrate. So, just imagine, right, this person, you're a tribulation saint, okay, and this person arises on the scene, and you think he's the Antichrist. And his name, in English, is Christopher Febiast. Made-up name. Or Christopher the Beast. That's his name. Okay. So, you try and calculate the number from that, and you're not really getting anywhere in English with it. So you think, the New Testament was written in Greek. So what I'll do is, I'll transliterate the letters of his name into New Testament Greek. In other words, for C, you're going to use, for the Kurt of Christopher, CH, you're going to use Kappa, K. For R, you're going to use Rho, and so on and so forth. You're going to use the nearest equivalent Greek letter for the English letter. And you would get Christopher Febiast. Febiast in Greek. And if you calculate that, in according to the numbers, it will come to 1830. Or, what you could do, is instead of transliterating it, you could actually translate it so that Christopher remains Christopher. But the beast, you use the Greek word, which is Tantherio in Greek, which means the beast. So if you translate it Christopher Tantherio, it actually comes to 2712. And the point of my illustration is, you've got two completely different numbers. Do you get the problem? And if you use this English numerology, you would have a different number again for Christopher Febiast. Do you understand the problem I'm pointing out? It's not quite as simple as it depends which language you choose to use. And if you translated his name into Hebrew, I didn't because I'm nowhere near with Hebrew, but if you did, I can guarantee you'd get a different number again. Do you see the problem? And this, you see, is why many different names have been calculated, all coming out at 666. But often, to get them to 666, they've got to do something with the name. They've got to maybe alter the spelling a little bit, or they maybe calculate it in Hebrew and it doesn't work out. But if they calculate it in Greek, it does. Or if they calculate it in English, it doesn't work out. Well, they put it in some other language and it works out as 666. Do you see what they do? Or you get that ridiculous article I read before, and that even goes into the dates of things and how many days between and all the rest of it. And some people just read it and think, oh yeah. But it's nonsense. Therefore, it seems to me it's not possible to know the name of the beast or the Antichrist before he's revealed in his time. So you can speculate all you like, but I don't think you're going to get it. You know, and you might think, oh, such a body, yeah, you know, he seems to have the spirit of Antichrist. Maybe he does, but you won't be able to work it out. In fact, you won't. Because not until the rapture has taken place will he rise to his full ascendancy. But when he does come, the tribulation saints who are on the earth will be given wisdom and understanding then to be able to calculate the number of the beast, and the number of his name will add up to 666. Whether it's Greek or whether it's Hebrew, I really don't know. They will have wisdom to know at the time. So, does that mean then that this verse 18 has nothing whatsoever to say to us today? Well, I can't think that about any verse in the Bible. For me, it's all relevant somehow. So, I would say it does have relevance. And the reason I say that is because this number, 666, means a whole lot more than it just being a means of verifying the identity of the beast when he comes. See, in Scripture, and it's actually true in occult numerology as well, there's occult numerology and there's biblical numerology. And in both, numbers often have significance. And this number, 666, certainly has significance in the Bible. So in closing then, I want us just to think a little bit about the significance of this number in terms of its connection with the Antichrist, the beast, and those who receive it as part of the mark. So let's think about meanings of the number. And first of all, let's just consider how this number appears in the Greek New Testament. And it looks like this. In a Greek New Testament, that's what it looks like. So, basically, you've got three characters there. You've got, and actually, when early Christians saw that, straight away, just looking at that, they would see something awful in it. To be honest, you won't, because you don't use Greek. But they would look at that and they would see something awful. What do I mean? Well, to begin with, the first letter there is the Greek letter chi. And because chi, is the first letter of the Greek for Christ, Christos, the chi came to represent the name Christ, the title Christ, you see, for early Christians. And the last letter there is the Greek letter sigma. And because sigma, or S in our language, because sigma is the first letter of the Greek word stauros, which means cross, for Christians, the sigma came to represent the cross. So the first letter of it is Christ, and the last letter is represented for them cross. But then stuck in the middle, you've got this other letter, which is the Greek psi. It's pronounced thigh. And it's a hieroglyph that looks like an uncurling serpent in the middle. And so, can you understand how a Christian would see that? You've got this uncoiling serpent right in the middle of two letters that for them represent Christ. It's Antichrist, you see, for them. Also, if we take the number six itself, six is, in biblical numerology, six is the number of man. Okay, so man was created on the sixth day. 6 days are allotted to man to work. Six falls short of seven, and seven is the number of perfection. So six represents the number of imperfect man, fallen man in other words. And six is said to signify then human imperfection and toil. So 666 then represents the ultimate manifestation of fallen sinful man in terms of biblical numerology. And then when you work through the Bible and you look at the number six as it sometimes appears, or six or 66 or 60 or 666, you make your own mind up whether or not you think there is any connection between what you see there and this. But for me, I can see some connection. For example, if you was to turn to Daniel chapter 3, this is where Nebuchadnezzar erects this big image of gold of himself that people are supposed to bow down and worship when they hear the music. And if you look at what it says in your Bible, you'll discover that it was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. So, is that a coincidence? Well, it might be. But, for me, I might be reading too much into it, but I see this as a connection between what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do then and what the Antichrist does when he has his image set up in the temple and people are forced to worship it. And interestingly, it's 60 cubits high. I mean, why does the Bible bother to tell you how big it was? Well, it was 60 cubits high and it was 6 cubits wide. And interestingly, when you read the passage, 6 instruments of music were used to call people to worship it. And then you look at Goliath, who defied the God of Israel and who taunted the people of Israel and persecuted them. It says he was 6 cubits high. It tells us in the same passage his spearhead weighed 600 shekels. I mean, why does it just tell you about his spearhead? I think because it's trying to bring to our mind there's some connection between him and this. So he's 6 cubits high, his spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and he had 6 pieces of armour when you count it up. And then you look at that wicked queen Athaliah, who I think she was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, who made Baal Ashtoreth religion the official religion of Israel by killing the prophets and servants of God. Athaliah, she usurped the throne of Judah and reigned for 6 years. There's an interesting passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 13, and it says that to King Solomon, every year there was given to him 666 talents of gold. And I always wonder, well, why does it tell you how much weight of gold he got every year? 666. Well, when I looked at it, it struck me that related to that part of his life, that point of his life when his heart had turned away from God and he went after strange gods. Okay, so in closing, what are we to make of all this? What are we to understand in terms of what this number represents? Well, other than it having particular reference to the Antichrist himself being the number of his name, it seems to me when we take everything into account, it represents all that fallen man is without God. If 6 is the number of fallen imperfect man, then 666 is the ultimate manifestation of what fallen man is. And the Antichrist is the living embodiment of that. He is everything that is opposed to God. And he's indwelt by Satan himself, animated by the serpent power. He is a master of occult power. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he has his image placed, this time in the temple of God in Jerusalem. And people are expected to worship him as God, to bow to the image. Like Goliath, stood head and shoulders above everyone else physically, he will stand head and shoulders above all other politicians and statesmen in the world. He'll stand head and shoulders above them all, and he will become the strong man armed who will keep those who are his under his control. And just as Athaliah, she usurped power and reigned for 6 years, well, he shall take power, and he will also reign for a short time, 7 years probably. Solomon built that temple in Jerusalem. He will be the one, it seems to me, who facilitates the rebuilding of a temple in Jerusalem. And just as every year 666 talents of gold came to Solomon to add to his wealth, this man will control the wealth of the world by the instigation of a system that utilizes his number. He wants to be worshipped as God, yet he isn't God. He is the ultimate, imperfect, fallen man. And just like Goliath, he will also be toppled.
Amen.
Just like Nebuchadnezzar's image was all brought to nothing, so will, and Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom come to that. No matter what he did to try and ensure that it remained forever, it came to nothing. Within 60 odd years, it was gone and replaced. So it is with this man's kingdom. He may rule the world for a few years, but after that, gone forever. So, that's it. I hope we got something out of all of that. And realise that no matter how many websites you go on and they tell you they've sussed out who the Antichrist is by reckoning up the name, I don't think you can. Because there are all kinds of difficulties associated with that. Wisdom, though, will be given to the people of God as and when they need it. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray then, shall we? Gracious Father, we thank you that, Lord God, you've given us your word of truth. It's not a puzzle to be sorted out. It's not a conundrum that, Lord God, we are meant to, a riddle that we're meant to try and solve somehow. But Lord God, these things, Lord God, are true, and Lord God, and will have great relevance to your people when the time comes. Lord God, I pray that as far as we are concerned, Lord God, whilst we may not be able to work out who the Antichrist is before he's revealed, Lord, we'll at least have the sense, Lord God, to distance ourselves from anyone who, Lord, in some way or another, takes this number or placards it or writes it. We sometimes see rock bands and they make much of the number 666. I can think of several rock bands that have done that. We think of certain individuals in history, Lord God, who would have this number tattooed upon them and claim that they are the beast or whatever. People like Crowley did that. And Lord God, and so I pray, Father, anyone who identifies themselves somehow with this number, that, Lord, we'd realise that the very fact that they have done that means that, Lord God, we should distance ourselves from it or from them. And have no association with it. Lord God, at the very least, I pray that we'll see that this represents fallen man in his worst state, in his most rebellious state, and therefore, Lord God, we'd have nothing to do with it in that sense. And Lord God, if we use the internet, if we go on prophecy sites, if we look at these things, Lord God, there are so many conspiracy theorists out there. There are so many people, Lord God, with wild and exaggerated claims. I pray that, Lord God, your people might have discernment and understanding, that, Lord God, we might receive what is true and reject what is false and leave it alone. Because, Lord God, these things, Lord God, can get a grip of us, and they're fascinating. But, Lord God, without profit, really, when we give our time over to such things as trying to work out things like this, Lord God, far better that we focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. So, Lord God, whilst we have to look at this, because we're studying the book of Revelation, I pray that, Lord God, we'll keep it in its proper place, and Lord God, and realise that this really has no part in our lives today. For with this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.